And if you're on Facebook, they obviously have a big ad buy budget on Facebook.
Mm. Yeah, and it's basically about finding parking in Canton, and you pay...
Maybe Federal Hill, too.
Well, So you're... I could, like, fall into all kinds of stereotypes about those neighborhoods that are totally unfair, but the thing is that these are night spots. There are people these are neighborhoods where young people live, so there's often convenient parking shortages. To solve this world-shaking problem...
there's an app for that.
There is now an app for that. And it's like a peer-to-peer market for parking spaces.
I mean, you're basically like selling the information that you're leaving your parking space and it is available. And then someone driving around the block looking for a parking space, you know, pays $5 for the information that you're leaving your parking space so that they can drive in and snag it, as opposed to selling the parking space, which is obviously illegal versus like the more morally muddled version that we're looking at, where, you know, you can't sell a public parking spot.
Right. Who gets the money?
The person who's leaving the space gets a cut, and so does the app developer, I believe.
That to me is the problem with the system. You eliminate that, and these people could still make money from being an aggregator of information, and everyone signs up, and it's a mutually beneficial system where everyone who signs up pays for the convenience of someone collating that information. It's like, well, how Waze, of course, I assume they're not going to get away with this ultimately, but Waze, the app, has people... alerting each other to the existence of police speed traps, right? And you know, they're not charging for that.
But you don't pay for that app, and you don't get paid for. You get like, you know, meaningless points. You can put like a little hat on your Waze avatar.
I worked really hard to become Waze royalty and have a little well, there you go. Crown so the on my little
the individuals
feature.
Are not paid, but I mean, Waze. I think it's not Waze a pay app yet, but you certainly
no,
has
it has
ads.
Ad yeah. delivery on it. So
right, but I mean, I don't. Personally,
and it's also owned by Google now. So.
Right, yeah, so they're good for money. But I personally, I'm struggling to see the problem with someone being ingenious enough to come up with a system that aggregates this stuff and makes some profit off of that. The aggregating of public information is a value added. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get angry in a sense in the same concept that like, the people, the companies who you kind of often have to go through to get certain public information, like records and things, because it's like a racket. They get the contract, right? If someone could disrupt that, I think, you know, if I'm going to pay somebody, I'd rather someone who does it efficiently and well. But I mean, the collecting together and the disseminating of public information as a paid service is nothing new, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, yeah. And I think that, you know, in this case, though, it's like it's taking... I mean, I think that's way overstating the significance of what this one app can do. And it's sort of like you have to have the app handy as you're driving around somehow and signal that you need a parking spot. And there has to be somebody at the same moment ready to signal that they are.
So you're
leaving.
Saying just logistically, so like, you don't think it's very workable.
People do get desperate enough looking, but I don't think that people leaving parking spots, their first impulse is to, oh, I could get a dollar for
saying, you know, that I'm leaving
for
this
waiting
parking
for
spot?
This person to come. I don't see that. But
then
but the
market would
that,
sort it out on its own.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen
because you have similar apps in like San Francisco where the city is. You know, suing now to shut down these apps, saying, "It's I don't know. It's not even. Is it public information? It's not. It's hardly information at all.
Well, it's like it's basically what's really happening is that you're being given an opportunity to sell the parking space that you're
in. Again, I think that's both the logistical problem and the ethical problem because that can lead to trying to game the system and people sort of making. What are public parking spaces into a private asset? The information is not, I think, a problem of collating and aggregating that. I don't see an issue with that. And I mean, to your point about the practicality, I have not developed this any kind of app like this, but I would think that if you had a geolocator that knew you were in Canton and then knew that you were on the move once you'd left a space, I can't imagine that'd be that difficult. That would alert the system automatically if you were signed into it. So again, I can see an app that, like, if you're signed on and pay the $5 a month or whatever for the information service, that would tell you by geolocation where there are now free spots, that could work quite well. And I don't really see a big ethical problem with that. But that's not apparently how this works.
Yeah, it's. I think all of this is. It's. We've already talked way too much about the thing itself, in terms of its ongoing significance. I think because it's just it's. It will vanish in a minute. It's just going to evaporate.
It'll go back into the haystack.
Or it's going to become a gigantic triumph and refloat Baltimore's economy.
But I think this is back to your first point, which is like, solving first world problems first. That there's been a lot of money invested in this, or you have like the even more absurd Yo app. Which has, managed to raise like, we're talking about millions of dollars here. And in Baltimore, what could we actually be using that money for? And the creativity, the technical know-how that it takes to build these kind of applications, how can we be funneling that into the city to actually improve life for everyone in the city, not just people who can't find parking spaces?
So, this is my gripe, is the more like envy-driven argument, which is that they had this lavish launch party at the Four Seasons Witten Wisdom Tavern.
I would be so happy if I were one of their VCs.
Young ladies with tight white shirts and fake angel wings.
Can everyone see the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when you say that, though?
I mean, it's so classy. It's world class.
It's bro grammar BS.
These parking angels. I don't know what message that sends, really.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. but then for some reason, of all sort of startup launch parties, there's like Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger, who I don't think of as a great fan of Baltimore City. He's speaking there. The mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, is there. That for some reason, in addition to the parking angels, they had zombies. And I'm not sure why that is relevant to... parking problems, I guess.
Well, clearly because this app is going to raise Baltimore from the dead, right? I mean, that's its potential.
I mean,
it all has religious overtones now.
Yeah, and you look at the website, it's beautiful, and they have like a professionally produced, I guess they're professional actors showing how to use the app in a video.
They have a robust marketing budget. That's what I hear you say.
Well, and it's like, how much do you think like the launch party alone cost? I bet it cost more to put on than having 400 people at Port Discovery last fall for Tech Night. I bet a dollar that's the case.
Because we know how to scrimp and save and turn out a good party.
This is, I guess it's the maximum. Instead of the minimum viable product, it's the maximum noise-generating product.
It's all facade, and there's nothing behind it, really.
I don't know, but
the emperor has no clothes. I'm just going to work a couple of analogies. It's decadent.
It's excessive.
It is.
So what you're saying is Baltimore's not wealthy enough yet to be this decadent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe in another generation we can afford to be this luxurious.
At the same time, we know people in the tech community here that decry this sort of behavior in the Valley and say like, look how disgusting it is that this is the way that they would launch a startup. But here they're applauding it. I think there's like a real willingness to, to your point about like, well, why are these politicians there? Because you've got to say like, yay, Baltimore business. Everything that's like Baltimore business is good.
Well, and also we've spent a lot of time trying to get attention for all of the like legit startups, the growing businesses that are happening, that are hiring people, that are making a positive economic and social impact. Mm-hmm. And that's what cheeses me off. It's like, why all this attention for something that, is so inferior to the other cool things that, we've seen around?
You have a good publicity person.
But wait, what examples, what are the counterexamples of things that are much more worthwhile?
Well, look at
Me?
Any on-ramp company. I look at investment track record of savvy investors, like, say, John Kamak, who's a ex T. Rowe Price guy who has invested a lot in the ed tech sector. Mm-hmm. And like on his LinkedIn profile, you can see what he's invested in. And
yeah, so that's a good example. Like something like Common Curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, this is a website for teachers to share the curricula that they're building for their classrooms with other teachers. Mm-hmm. That's built by two guys down in Holland's Market.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like that's a really cool idea for a startup. Mm-hmm. That's helping on many levels, but no one's running around talking about how awesome it is. I don't think they would have girls in wings at a party.
Maybe they should.
Yeah, maybe that's what's been missing. Zombies and
right. Robbie and Scott, if you're
and,
listening.
Yeah. I think that's I think if you can't beat him, join him. You look at the other ones that like just this is just one example of one savvy investor. There's like Moodle Rooms, which, you know, has actually been bought since he invested in it. Curiosityville also
just recently
upgraded. Yep. Yeah. And SiteLighter, which is kind of a student text sharing thing, if I remember correctly. And there's just a whole bunch of things here. Unbound Concepts, which is a really cool thing about using data tools to determine reading level of writing and text. Anyway, it's like there's some cool things happening. And, you know, so why can't they get a little of this spotlight? On that,
because they're too busy building an awesome product, not running around throwing parties for themselves.
Yeah.